Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Women Arsecast on arseblog.com, the best podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team. And how do we know that? Because it's the only podcast dedicated to the Arsenal women's team. That's right. Arsenal women, I don't know, do we say they start their season, end their season this weekend? I don't know. Things are a little bit up in the air, but what's for sure is they've got a massive Champions League quarterfinal tie against Paris Saint-Germain in San Sebastian on Saturday evening. And we're going to have a little look ahead to that, as always, with our wonderful co-host Pippa Monique. Pippa, welcome to the show again.
Hey Tim, it's been ages. How are you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Just coping with parenthood now. Something you're obviously already very well versed in, but I'm finding my feet and up to my elbows in dirty nappies. How about you?
That's the fun part.
And joining us as well, because obviously we always have Pippa, making her first appearance on the show, is the host of the Box to Box podcast, which is a new podcast all about the WSL. It's Alex Ibaceta. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm happy to be making my debut.
Good stuff. How are you doing, Alex?
Not too bad. Just getting on with lockdown. Excited for women's football to be back.
Yeah, indeed. It's been a really long break, hasn't it? And for those of you tuning in who perhaps don't really know much about kind of what's happening, essentially Arsenal are in the Champions League quarterfinal. They were meant to play Paris Saint-Germain in a two-legged tie in March. Obviously, COVID intervened and that didn't happen. So the Women's Champions League is going to be decided exactly like the men's. It's going to be a 9-day tournament all in, with the eight remaining teams playing their ties as one-offs in either San Sebastian or Bilbao. Arsenal will play Paris Saint-Germain on Saturday night. And if you're in the UK, that is being screened live on BT Sport 1. If they win that, they will play the winners of Bayern Munich and Lyon in the semi-final next Wednesday night. And then if they win that, the final is a week on Sunday in San Sebastian. Arsenal need to win the tournament to qualify for next season's tournament because they finished third in the WSL on points per game. A little bit later in the show, we're going to be hearing from French women's football journalist Tara Britton to go in depth on Arsenal's opponents on Saturday evening, PSG. But we're Pippa, Alex and I are just going to have a general chat about Arsenal's chances and the game on Saturday in particular. And Pippa, I'm going to start with you. And just before we get into the kind of the actual Champions League game, we should talk a little bit about some of the comings and goings at Arsenal this summer. We did the podcast last month with Sam Lewis looking at the signings of Lydia Williams and Steph Catley. Also, Noel Maritz and Malin Gutz have come in. But before we talk about the players who've come in, quite a few players have left this summer as well. Quite a few kind of squad players like Pauline Perrin-Mannion, like Katrine Veya. But three really big characters, I think, and certainly two very long-serving players in Dan Carter and Emma Mitchell left the club this summer. Also, Louise Quinn, massive part of Arsenal's title win in 2018-19. First of all, I just want to give you a chance to, I guess, react to particularly those three like big players in Arsenal's history leaving, and maybe a favourite moment from one of them during their time at the club.
Yeah, it's quite sad and unfortunate to see Daniel Carter's like reign at Arsenal end so shortly. I mean, she's been unfortunate with the injuries, of course, but I'm quite happy that she's still playing football, because once it was announced that she's leaving Arsenal, I thought she was going to go straight into a media career. So to see that she'll still be playing in WSL was great, great news. Emma Mitchell, unfortunately, I kind of saw this one coming. When we loaned her to Spurs, that move alone was a bit like, oh, gut-wrenching. And then to hear that she's no longer I'm not surprised with that one, but it's sad to see her go. She was such a great squad player for us, and there's so many great moments she's had with this squad, especially the last day of the season, 2018-19 season, that last goal against Manchester City. Mm. And even the goal she scored for Spurs, she's an incredible player. So it's really sad to see her go. It's just all round. And Louise Quinn, you know, she was someone that wasn't expecting to have a professional career at such a late stage of her, I say, athletic life, because you know when you get a bit older, you don't expect to be professional. She done so well for us in that title-winning season. It's just sad to see such these players go, but it's also great to see that we've brought in reinforcement. So I can't be too sad, but of course, there's going to be so many memories that I'll hold on for those players.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the kind of bottom line is here, they're all good players and they want to play. Yeah. And they should, like, I think that's healthy that squad players, particularly a club like Arsenal, should say, no, I don't want to sit on the bench. I want to go somewhere and play. So absolutely best of luck to all of those players. So Alex, if we have a look at some of the players that Arsenal have brought in this summer, as we said, goalkeeper Lydia Williams, Australia's number one, left back Steph Catley, possibly the best left back in the world. Then we've got, then we've got Malin Gut, who's actually Leo Valti's understudy at international level. So that makes a lot of sense. And then Noel Maritz, from Wolfsburg. So Alex, that to me seems like quite a good haul of players. Who of those players really stands out to you though?
You know what? Out of all those players, the one that I have, I guess, the most history with would be Steph Catley. Mm. I saw her play in the NWSL when she was in Orlando City. She did really well, started following her to Melbourne City as well, saw her play for the national team with the Matildas, and she just stood out to me, but in a very different level than most of the NWSL players and the American players that she plays with. I always thought that she was too technically advanced to be playing in the NWSL. Mm. Not to maybe offend anyone, but she has a very, very high football IQ, and she sees things that not a lot of fullbacks, a lot of defensive players can see. I mean, she had an X amount of assists when she played for Orlando. It was a few of her balls up to Marta, up to Alex Morgan were absolutely ridiculous. So I'm really excited to see Steph Catley play with Viv, with Kim Little in the middle, Jordan Nobbs, to see her play off these players and attack, which is what she does best, I think.
Yeah, and I still think that's a really underrated signing. I think a lot of people are looking at business that like Manchester City have done, and they've brought in, obviously, or they're going to bring in two really high-profile US WNT players, and Chelsea have brought in Melanie Leupolz, but I still think fullbacks get, you know, just don't get the limelight quite as much, and I still don't think people have quite got that Arsenal needed a left-back. They really needed one because they lost two this summer, and they've basically signed possibly one of the best in the world, and they've kept the core of their team together. I think people really, really actually underestimated some of Arsenal's business. They've kept the spine of the team the same, and they've just added some of these ingredients. So Pippa, if we look ahead to Saturday evening, Paris Saint-Germain in San Sebastian, Champions League quarter-final, one-off game. On one hand, PSG have played competitively this month because the Coupe de France finished and they lost the final on penalties to Lyon. On the other hand, in March, Arsenal had lots and lots of injuries which have now cleared up, and actually fitness-wise are in much better shape than they would have been had the tie been played in March. How do you see this one going on Saturday evening?
You could say it's perfect timing, really, because at the time, as you said, when we was meant to play the Champions League fixture, I was thinking, do we even have a squad fit enough to even go out and play both these? Well, it would have been both home and away at the time, if we would have had a squad fit enough to play those games. But now, as you said, the injuries that we had in the squad, like likes of Beth Mead, Kim Little, such integral players, Leah Walter, I even believe, are back now fit. And it's more pressure though, because obviously we've had these new players added to the team. They haven't had that much time to gel together because of isolation. They had like training sessions in small numbers, and it grew as time went on. So it's great that football's coming back. It's great that we've got such a big fixture as a first competitive game. But to start against PSG in a Champions League quarterfinal where it's straight knockout, I am quite nervous. But we have a really strong team. It's just a shame that I don't know how we're going to play because I haven't seen some of these players play together yet. I mean, they've had friendlies behind closed doors. I'm not aware of the results, though. Did they even release the results of those games? I know we won.
They don't. We have won all three of them. We beat Aston Villa 4-0, Charlton 5-0, and Brighton 2-0.
Okay, so that's great. Sounds great. But going up against PSG, who you said have played competitively against the Giants, Lyon, anything can happen on that day, but we've got quality players, as we know, and we've done really well in the competition so far. I don't even believe we've conceded any goals in Champions League yet. So it's going to be interesting, but I'm quietly confident.
Yeah, it's quite weird, isn't it? Usually you start a season and you get into it slowly, but starting a season with a one-off knockout game seems really strange. And yeah, like you say, really nerve-wracking. And another tidbit, by the way, that Pippa and I heard on the media call last Friday is that in these practice games, Arsenal, even though they've won all three games, they've been finishing with penalty shootouts to practice those, which I'm really happy to hear because Arsenal have had two penalty shootouts under Joe Montemurro and lost them both. And I know that they don't usually practice penalties, so the fact that they're doing that this time makes me a little bit happier. Alex, if I come to you and just give you a chance to have an overview on this game, I mean, I'm with Pippa. I think this is a real coin toss tie. And what's interesting is PSG, they play a bit of a 4-4-2, but they press really high. They actually play a bit like Chelsea. And Arsenal have had some issues with that approach when it's done well. What are you expecting to see from this game on Saturday?
I'm quite intrigued to see it, actually, because I think they play similar in terms of fullbacks attacking out the wing, and kind of what I saw from Lyon PSG for the Coupe de France final was that PSG, they don't really attack through the middle. And I saw a huge gap around their number six, which I think that the likes of Jordan Am, Kim Little can probably exploit that space a lot more than Lyon did, because I don't think they did at all. And I think the other matchup that I'm excited to see, well, excited as a football fan, kind of nervous as an Arsenal fan, is Witaman and Katoto playing as their top two strikers. They seem to have a really good understanding of each other and what they like. Witaman tends to drop off to let Katoto run. So the way they start off is Witaman is a nine and Katoto kind of drops in behind her, sitting in front of the pen. But Witaman drops and Katoto is the one that makes long runs. So if we can handle that run in the middle, I think it should be a pretty good match for Arsenal. But we'll see how they handle that.
Yeah, and she's a really interesting one, actually. And for the benefit of the listeners, I haven't recorded with Tara yet, but I completely plan to talk to her about Kakoto, who was controversially left out of the France World Cup squad last year, despite being the top scorer in France for two seasons. She scored 16 times in Ligue 1 last year, exactly the same amount as Vivian Miedema. So that gives you an insight into how dangerous she is. I think she's going to be a real key player. But I agree with you. I think as much as I absolutely love and adore Formiga, who plays in central midfield for PSG, she's 42. She's a miracle of nature, don't get me wrong, but she's still 42. And I don't think she could... Essentially, had the Olympics happened as planned, I think she would have retired by now. I think she's hung on for another year to play the Olympics. I do think that she is potentially a weak spot that we could identify, as you say, Alex. Pippa, if we kind of maybe get ahead of ourselves for a minute, because if we get through this game, we play either Bayern Munich or Lyon in the semi-final, which means basically there's an excellent chance we'd run into Lyon, which is, you know, they've won the last four tournaments in a row. I think they've won six of the last seven. They are the absolute giants of women's elite football. But if that tie comes about, could Arsenal beat Lyon?
Oh, are you really going to ask me something like that? It's obviously, this one puts me in a sticky situation because obviously I love Arsenal wholeheartedly, but I've had the pleasure of watching Lyon in a Champions League final last year. Was it last year? I don't know what year I'm in anymore. Yeah, it was last year against Barcelona. And they're just incredible. We're definitely getting ahead of ourselves now, but if we was to get to a semi-final and knock them out, it would be one of the best seasons for Joe, for Arsenal women. I mean, obviously we've won Champions Leagues before, but this one would just be a lot more to cherish because the competition is so much harder and higher technically now. Lyon have got so many threats in their team. I don't even know where to start. I mean, do I even need to mention them? Hegerberg, Anderson, like, it's just too much. Can we beat them? I mean, can you answer that, Tim? Can we beat them?
We'd be underdogs, but the last couple of times I've seen Lyon, I haven't been in. I wasn't that impressed with them against PSG last weekend. But the thing I'll say, you referenced last year's final, yet there, right? I tipped Barca to win that game, and
really,
yep, and Lyon tore them apart, 4-0 up at halftime.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, their pedigree in this competition. Usually I'm dubious about how much something like that counts. I think it counts for Lyon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think when they play in the Champions League, I do think they'll go up a level. I think they recognise that the competition's there as well now. Alex, I'll come to you on that. More generally, not so much if Arsenal play them or whether or not Arsenal end up playing them. Lyon have won the last four Champions Leagues, as we said. I think Wolfsburg still look really, really strong. I tipped Barca at the outset of the competition. I just think Barcelona's attack is the most beautifully balanced in Europe. However, in your view, can anyone stop Lyon winning the whole thing?
You know what? I haven't thought this through just because I know it'd give me a headache. But I think the two teams that could potentially do it will be Wolfsburg and Barcelona. Mm. Barcelona, just because I think they learned a lot from their defeat last year. I think Oshuala is their star striker at the moment now with Tony Duggan is gone. So I think they learned a lot from that defeat and they took it to heart. And they, unlike many of the other squads in the Champions League at the moment, they didn't have many transfers. So the core of their squad that was there last season is still there. Mm. And I think they would be able to potentially come on top if they stick to their plan and they don't get too much into their heads. Because that was their first Champions League final. So maybe psychologically that got the best of them. But I think they could definitely challenge them again if they learned. And Wolfsburg is just a powerhouse. I think they would literally just power through Lyon. Maybe less on a footballistic side of it, but more on the grit and the power and the physicality. I think Wolfsburg can probably get the better side of them as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I was feeling really confident about my Barca prediction until UEFA changed the rules. So initially, clubs weren't allowed to play their new signings in these games, but UEFA, I think, recognised that almost all of these teams have had big turnovers and have sold players, except, as you say, Alex, except Barcelona. Barcelona were the ones who've kept their team pretty much the same, and I think that would have been a massive advantage for them. But nevertheless, I agree. I think Wolfsburg and Barca, along with Arsenal, are teams that could stop them. Pippa, one of the things that's really, really nice about this, you know, not just from an Arsenal point of view, but from a kind of women's football point of view, is that we've got this like one-off tournament over 8 days at a time where there's no other, you know, there's no other domestic leagues going on. There's no Premier League or anything like that. And so this is a great showcase for women's football. And I know there are going to be a lot of Arsenal fans who perhaps aren't that familiar with Arsenal women, who are going to be watching the PSG game and any other games we get through to.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, yeah, indeed. And just for those people who might be tuning into this as well through curiosity, I mean, I think everyone knows, whether they watch Arsenal Women or not, about Vivian Miedema. But for the Arsenal women novice who hasn't seen much of them or hasn't seen any of them at all, which other player other than Miedema would you tell someone to keep an eye on?
Just one. That's so hard. The first player that came to mind was Beth Mead, but I'd have to say Kim Little because she is literally the magician in the midfield that keeps the game ticking. As well, I'm just going to mention another player then, but just one. Okay, I'll say Kim Little. She's our captain. She's used to winning things and she's very strong and technical in the midfield. Very, very technical.
Yeah. I mean, just to give you a flavour of how good Kim is, Hope Solo, who's won a few things, won some gold medals in the Olympics and the World Cup. She played with Kim at Seattle Reign. And she says that Kim Little is the best player she's ever played with. And Hope mm-hmm. Solo has played with everyone, basically. So, I think that's a great shout. And someone who's been at Arsenal for a long time as well.
Yeah.
Real figurehead of the club. Alex, I'm going to let you have a nibble on that question as well. So other than Vivian Miedema and Kim Little, which Arsenal player would you tell the discerning Arsenal watcher to look out for?
I think I'm going to have to go for Leah Williamson. I have such huge respect for her as a centre back. She's composed. She attacks. That one-on-one tackle, like she's the one that you want to go for it. I think she's just underrated just because I think she's a defensive player. The quality she has, you don't see that in a lot of players coming up nowadays. Just in general, she's obviously Arsenal through and through, which helps to keep the motivation up on the pitch. Also, I think is a bit underrated. Like if you were playing for Arsenal, if you were in that game against Lyon, you're down 1-0, you need to get that tie. I think he looks to Leah Williamson as well. But just qualities, you don't see the quality she has in a lot of players. And I think sometimes it goes underrated with a lot of attacking stuff that other players do.
Yeah.
But Leah Williamson, definitely, that's a player to go to.
Yep, I think that's a fantastic shout. And an extra tidbit there, Leah Williamson was a mascot when Arsenal women won the Champions League in 2007 at Boreham Wood. I think she was one of the ball girls that day. So she's been at the club forever, big Arsenal supporting family. But yeah, as Alex says, terrific player. I'm going to pick a player as well. And as Pippa said, it's difficult to pick just one. So I felt very comfortable about going last on this because there's no shortage of options. But I'm going to say Jordan Nobbs in central midfield, who plays alongside Kim Little. Arsenal essentially play a midfield three. They have Leah Valti in front of the defence, and she is an outstanding defensive midfielder. Then they have Kim Little, who's really, really strong dribbler, great leader, great technical player. And then there's Jordan, and Jordan can basically do everything. She can do everything. She does everything. She can tackle. She can pass. She can shoot. She's goal threat. She's a real leader. These games are behind closed doors, so I promise you one thing, you will hear her. If you ever go to an Arsenal women game, you will hear Jordan talking constantly because she's just one of those players who I don't know where she gets her energy from, but I envy her massively for that. And she's been at the club for 10 years this month as well, and she's another real high pedigree player. She's had to miss a couple of international tournaments now through injury, and I think she'll be really hungry on this stage to show exactly what she can do. So I'm going to say Jordan Nobbs. Just to close out this section of the show, I'm going to put you both on the spot. And Pippa, I'm going to start with you.
Uh-oh.
Your prediction, first of all, for the mm-hmm. Arsenal-PSG game, and then your prediction for the overall winner of the Champions League.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so Arsenal-PSG, I don't want it to go to penalties. I'm hoping to get a win at full-time, 90 minutes. So I'm hoping it's Arsenal 2, PSG 1.
Okay, good shout. And who do you think is going to win the whole thing?
I mean, I'd love to say Arsenal, but it's a really, really tough competition at the moment. Tim, don't do this because I have to be honest, don't I?
You do. It's okay. We'll all be. I'm not going to say Arsenal. Don't worry.
I think this will surprise everyone, but I'm just going to say Lyon. I'm just going to say Lyon.
It's a fairly safe bet, to be fair. They will be favourites and for very good reason.
I was going to say Wolfsburg, but I'm going to go be safe and say Lyon.
I mean, we could very well have a Lyon final. Alex, your prediction for Arsenal PSG and your prediction for the overall winner?
I'll go for the overall first. I think that's a bit easier. Well, not necessarily easier, but I'm kind of set that Wolfsburg is going to win.
I
think they've done so well in the league, and I think they've grown somehow even more. But I think they've grown a lot more when it comes to European football as well. So I think if they have to go up against Lyon, I think they can take it. But Arsenal, PSG, you know, it could go either way. That's the worst part. You know, I'm going to go for a 2-2 draw, and Arsenal take it on penalties.
No!
That's absolutely uncanny, because that's exactly what my prediction is. I've gone 2-2 and Arsenal to win on penalties. I do think... Okay. Arsenal practicing penalties is an interesting development. I think they've got they have lost a couple of penalty shootouts of late, but I do think they've got some players I'd trust in that scenario. And PSG, of course, lost to Lyon in the Coupe de France final. And you know, to be quite honest, I don't, penalties aren't a lottery. I don't believe that. And I think PSG mucked it up. And as a proud Chilean, Alex, I'm sorry to say this, but getting Christian Endler to take the PSG goalkeeper, Chilean legend, Christiane Endler, took a penalty when PSG were in the box seat and she hit the bar, and Lyon took it from there. And that, to me, just struck me as a really odd decision and a really odd thing to do. And I wonder if that would play on their mind a bit if it went to penalties.
I think it probably would.
Yeah.
I think her confidence was a bit too much after that save. She saved Lesmer's goal, and I think her confidence was just a bit too much, and maybe shouldn't have taken that.
Because she leant back, and usually you lean back if you're a bit too laid back, I think. So I do think Arsenal will take it on penalties. Unfortunately, I do think that Lyon would just take us in the semi-final, and I do think they'll beat Bayern Munich. For the overall winner, for difference, I said I tipped Barca from the beginning. I'm going to say Barca, but I tell you what I think would be the absolute tie of the tournament would be Wolfsburg-Barcelona, which is, I think, almost certainly going to be the semi-final, because... if Glasgow City can keep Wolfsburg down to single figures, I think they'll have done well. Wolfsburg will win that handily. With everything that's going on with Atleti at the moment, I mean, three managers in one season, and they've got five players who've tested positive for coronavirus, so they can't train. I can't see them laying a glove on Barcelona. So I think Barcelona-Wolfsburg in that semi-final, I think the winner is going to come from that semi-final. And I'm going to stick with my guns and say Barcelona. But nevertheless, when Arsenal won it in 2007, they were not favourites. It was just their time. So let's hope that it's their time again in San Sebastian next week. That's it for part one of the show. I just want to say a real big thank you, obviously, to our co-host Pippa Monique. Pippa, thank you as always.
You're welcome.
And Alex, thank you so much for your insight as well. And, you know, just as I said at the outset, Alex hosts her own WSL podcast called Box to Box. Alex, thanks so much.
No, thanks for having me.
And hang on, because right after the break, I will be talking to Tara Britton in depth about Arsenal's opponents on Saturday, PSG. So join us after the break for that.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
Welcome back to the Arsenal Women Arscast on arsblog.com, the best podcast about the Arsenal women's team because it is the only podcast dedicated solely to the Arsenal women's team. Welcome to part two, where, as promised, I'm joined by French women's football journalist for L'Équipe and L'Équipe, Tara Britton, to get the PSG perspective. Tara, thanks so much for joining the show.
Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely, our pleasure. First off, you know, obviously we'll look from the kind of this tie from the PSG perspective. I want to look at last season for Paris Saint-Germain. The title, the French league title, was awarded to Lyon on points per game, which seemed quite unfair because Paris Saint-Germain and Lyon still had to play each other. The title was very close still, and I don't think it was a foregone conclusion that Lyon were going to win it. How did that decision go down with Paris Saint-Germain, the club, and the fans?
Well, I'm sure that they wanted to play that that game against Lyon because they were, the first game during the season, it was a draw between the two teams. So It's been a few years that Paris Saint-Germain is only one step from Lyon, but at the end it's always the same end. And well, Paris Saint-Germain didn't have the chance to beat Lyon during the championship, but we had the French Cup, the final. It was 10 days ago. And it was between Paris Saint-Germain and Lyon. So it looked like that game of the championships that never happened. And well, the result was 0-0. And we didn't have any additional time and any extra time. So it went strictly, directly to the penalty kicks. And at the end, I don't know if it's, well, I guess it's a problem with the mental. It's not the football. It's it's the way you think you're going to win. And at the end, Paris Saint-Germain lost 3-4 during the penalty kicks. So it's always the same. Always at the end, it's always Lyon that win.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit about that in part one. I watched the final, and it was a very even game. I thought Paris Saint-Germain was slightly the better team. I think you're right about the mental side, because even in the shootout, Paris Saint-Germain got the advantage. And then one of our guests in part one, Alex, is Chilean, so a huge fan of Christiane Endler. And unfortunately, for some reason, Paris Saint-Germain decided she should take a pretty crucial penalty. And I think you're right to kind of point to that mental side, and Lyon really have that. But I mean, I think from afar, for me, it looks like, you know, it was a really close title race this year. You know, that Coupe de France final was very, very even. It seems to me the gap between Lyon and Paris Saint-Germain is closing. Do you agree with that? And do you think that's because PSG are getting better, or do you think it's because Lyon aren't quite what they were?
Well, I think it's more because PSG are getting better, like since, let's say, since the 2015. They're getting better, but it will be. I will repeat exactly the same, but it's like the French team, our national team, our national team is getting. At the end, we don't win anything, and as you told me during the penalty kicks, Christian Endler did one, but I mean all the players that decided to take that penalty kick, they're not in the game. Olivier Chouafny decided to put them on the field for during the last minute, so that they will be able to take that penalty kick. And in my point of view, I mean, it would have been Khadidia Tidiane, Marie-Antoinette Katoto, Grace Gayoro, the main players, the one that lead the teams, and none of them took that penalty kick. So it's a decision from the coach. I didn't get it, and I still don't get it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And a couple of us actually in part one predicted that this tie might go to penalties, and that might play in Arsenal's favour a bit if it does. But looking a bit more generally at PSG since lockdown, since play stopped, they've brought in Ramona Backman from Chelsea, a player English fans will know very, very well. They've brought back the goalkeeper Charlotte Vol, Benedict Simon. But it seems to me the important thing that PSG have done is retained a lot of players and signed big player or important players to new contracts. Has this been a good kind of summer for PSG in terms of, in your view, in terms of both who they've brought in and who they've been able to keep?
Well, in my view and in the view of L'Équipe, the media for which I work, it's actually not a good one because I did my mathematics. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players left. And there was Anna Glass who went to Bayern Munich, F. Perisset, which was one of the co-captain. And that left for Bordeaux, which next year will be one of the main team, like nearly at the same level as PSG. There is the goalkeeper, Katarina Krydzinek, who left for Wolfsburg. And then after three young players that play with France under 20 or France under 17, and two of them went to Lyon. So that, and you told me Ramona Backman from Chelsea, Charlotte Vol, and another one, Benedict Simon from Reims, a French team. So I think it wasn't a really good period this summer. A really good transfer, because PSG lost some really good players like F. Perisset, which if maybe on the field she's not during every game that good. She was really important for the team because she was there during many years and she was one of the key players in the group. And from it looked like the maybe not the coach but the sports director, I don't know if you say that. The sports director, it's like they didn't really try to have a competitive team that would have been able to beat Lyon.
And it's interesting you reference Bordeaux there, who are managed by Pedro Martinez Loza, former Arsenal manager, and possibly wasn't great in the end, Arsenal manager, but someone I got on with very well in that Coupe de France final against Lyon. PSG went with their, I think, usual 4-4-2 kind of formation.
Well, that's not usual.
Ah, is it not? Okay, interesting. So how do they usually play?
Well, usually it's a 4-3-3.
Okay.
And well, that was really surprising because in the front of the team, so there was Ritema and Katoto. And Katoto played as 10, and
yeah.
And it didn't work because then after Ritema was alone. So it's mainly also because of that, in my opinion, that PSG didn't manage to put more pressure on Lyon.
Interesting. And would you expect to see them? So was that a tactic just for Lyon, or would you expect to see them line up like that against Arsenal? Because one of the things I thought looking at PSG was I thought, Arsenal play three in midfield and they have three very, very good midfielders in Leovolti, Jordan Nobbs and Kim. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. And because Arsenal play three in midfield, and I thought to myself, oh, if PSG play 4-4-2, Arsenal might have some fun there. Would you expect them to go back to 4-3-3 to play Arsenal?
Yeah, I think that they're going to be back in their traditional game system. During the semi-final against Bordeaux, so it was at the beginning of August, the 1st or the 2nd, and they played in their 4-3-3. And it was much better than the 4-4-2 because, well, it's not the same team, Bordeaux and Lyon. But, except Khadija Tudjani, during the game against Lyon, well, we didn't see Ritema, we didn't see Sandy Baltimore, and there was only Khadija Tudjani and then Katoto, but Katoto couldn't do everything.
And a player that PSG have that I really, really like is Sara de Brits, and a player Arsenal were very interested in signing a couple of years ago, but it didn't quite happen. Now she ruptured her cruciate ligament in December, and she's back in the team, albeit on the substitutes bench, which seems quite soon. Are there any concerns over her being kind of rushed back for this?
Well, she didn't start against Bordeaux and she didn't start against Lyon, but every time she was put on the field around an hour of the game. Well, I think they're not rushing, but they know Sara de Brits is one of their best players, so they have to have her doing for the game against Arsenal. I think she might not start against Arsenal. Otherwise, we would have seen her against Lyon. But it's one of my concerns against Arsenal is that Formiga didn't look really fit against Lyon. She was the one who started with Gayoro and was the third one? I forgot. Gayoro and... Oh, no, well, there were just two. Formiga
just two,
and Gayoro.
Yeah.
Playing the 4-4-2, yes. And Formiga didn't do a good impression. And against Lyon, it was Luana. And she didn't do a good impression as well. So one of the weakness of Paris Saint-Germain, I would say it will be the midfield.
And that's the next question I was going to ask you, actually, about Formiga, you know, someone who writes about Brazilian football as well and about the Brazilian national team. You know, Formiga, for me, is just an icon of women's sport, not just women's football. And I think Formiga would have retired this year had the Olympics gone ahead. I think she's just waiting for that seventh Olympics. And I think you're right. I think she looked really... even at 42, she's quite energetic, but she looked to me like, you know, having not perhaps lost some match rhythm there. Is that, you know, is it usual for her not to be able to complete 90 minutes these days, or do you or was that just kind of a one-off in the Lyon game?
No, it's not. Well, it's not usual. Well, usually you see her every weekend. Well, every game she's in the 11s. Players who start, but at the same time it's a really strange period. So yeah, as you told us, yeah, maybe it's the year that is too much year. She should have retired at the end of the season, but she looks like she won't be enough fit for the big games, the important games. She will be fit for the normal games the games against Montpellier, against Reims, against those teams in France. But I think she doesn't have the level for the European games and, well, the quarterfinal, semifinal, or even a final.
And there's another player you've mentioned a couple of times I really wanted to ask you about, which is Marie-Antoinette Katoto. Controversially left out of the France squad for the World Cup last summer, despite the fact she's been the top scorer in Liga 2 years in a row. Was that a big shock, her being left out of the World Cup squad like that? And what's her reaction been since then?
Well, yeah, like it looked like that was a little bit weird because she was the top striker in the French championship, and so usually you don't leave on the side your top striker. Well, she reacts in the media or publicly, so we don't really know. But since the World Cup, she played with the national team. She did some pretty good games, but I don't know. I feel like she hasn't taken the step to be one of the best players in the world yet. I think she's maybe a little bit too young, or it might be now the time we will see in the quarterfinal, because she's one of Paris Saint-Germain's best player. And especially with Khadija Tidjani close to her. I mean, those two players are the most dangerous one. You don't leave like 2 meters to Khadija Tidjani, otherwise she will take them and strike. This is sure. So I'm really curious to see how Marie-Antoinette Katoto will manage the pressure squad. Because now it's been 2 or 3 years we've seen her in the championship. She strikes a lot, and now she has to prove that she has the level to do the same at a European level.
And my final question, Tara, before I let you go, is a more general question about women's football in France, because obviously France hosted the World Cup last summer, and you know, which is usually a big deal for a country, particularly in boosting the profile of the women's game. Have you seen signs that, that's had an effect in France, that the profile of women's football has gotten higher as a result of hosting the World Cup, or do you not think it's really pushed the needle that much?
Well, at professional level, it's hard to tell there's a huge difference. Mm. I would say it's more in the way clubs like in the way clubs use more women and men, like to present the new jersey or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like in England, I've seen that a lot, that you've got an ad with a female player and a men player. But otherwise, there's still a huge salary gap between Lyon, Paris Saint-Germain and the others.
Yeah.
And it's just at, how do you say that, at, the level where everyone can play, the non-professional level. Mm. There's a quite lot more players, but the problem is that the club don't have enough means and enough like football fields to welcome everyone.
Yeah, I think it's similar in England as well. I think you can see in England, Arsenal, Manchester City and Chelsea are just so far ahead of everyone else. And then when you go below the WSL, yeah, it's easy, I think, to build an image of professionalism. When you look at Arsenal, Manchester City and Chelsea, you think, wow, you know, women's football in England is really, really coming along. But once you go, and I'm sure it's the same in France, once you look below PSG, Lyon, possibly Bordeaux, it still looks a bit more semi-professional. It's still difficult to find coverage and difficult to find even things like team lineups and just acknowledgement that games are even happening. So I think you're right that, well, sorry, I think that that's quite a general thing in women's football. The coverage of the elite level is going up, but perhaps that's not really transferring through to every level. Tara, I've taken enough of your time already. I'm so grateful for you coming on the show. And thank you so much for joining us and for your insights.
Thanks for having me. It was a nice new thing to do.
Absolute pleasure to have you on. And that's all that we have time for this month's show. Hopefully we'll come to you with a special show if and when Arsenal win the Champions League in San Sebastian. Myself and Pippa will put something together for that, but if not, we'll have another podcast for you in a couple of weeks, probably previewing the beginning of the WSL season in early September. So thanks so much everyone for tuning in, and we will be back again with another show in a couple of weeks' time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.